Jabroni of the Week, 10 minutes away. Did you catch where I screwed up there in editing together the second part of that interview?
No, I didn't.
I made a mistake and cut out the question. The question leading up to him talking about Alabama and Ohio State.
It went from Phil Steele answer directly to the next Phil Steele answer.
Yeah, that's my bad. My bad, everybody. The question was, is it Alabama and Ohio State up at the top, just like it seems to be every year?
That was my question.
Like Cavs, Warriors. Yes, it was.
I'm less okay with it now. You cut my question.
That's my fault. My fault. I'm sure that was confusing for some. I hope that clears some of it up. I can clear this up as well. Awesome news to see this. Jordan Floyd, K-State reliever, drafted in the 10th round, pick number 300 overall by the Kansas City Royals.
Just bulking up that bullpen.
So Floyd, who was a draft pick coming out of high school, out of Shawnee Heights High School in Topeka, now drafted again and in the 10th round. Just for a point of reference, last year K-State had a reliever taken in the 10th round. That was Lucas Beninati, who's now an A-ball in the Reds organization. A couple years ago, Nate Greep was taken in the 8th round, so this is close to around there, and Greep was K-State's ace, really a great Friday night guy, and the last pretty solid Friday night guy K-State has had. So that's pretty good company, is the point I'm trying to make here for Jordan Floyd being selected that high. Jordan Floyd is a very fun guy to be around, so from that standpoint, I mean, I am thrilled for him that not only gets taken by the hometown team and the Royals, but taken that early. And you said money-wise, he may be doing all right here with the slotted signing bonus.
Not bad. $133,700 is what MLB lists as the pick value there.
Perfect example of why a lot of these prospects should take a long, hard look of going through college. Because he was taken – you mind looking up his bio for me real quick? He was not a very high selection at all coming out of high school, but he was taken in the draft. The signing bonus money there would not have been nearly as much, and I think he's just a guy that benefited from being able to mature through college and just develop as a baseball player, and I think it would have been really tough for him going straight from high school at that point into the minor leagues.
That would have been the 25th round of the 2013 draft. He was the number 764 overall pick by the New York Yankees.
Okay, there you go. So gets to mature, develop here in college, now a 10th round pick, and $133,000 potentially coming his way for being taken by the Kansas City Royals. So good example there of, you know, I realize every case is different with a high school kid, whether or not they're going to go to college or go to the draft. The 25th round, that's getting murky as far as which way you would go. I think he made the right decision, and with a lot of kids, it is the right way to go, as much as it could hurt to be patient enough when you have the professional outlet staring you in the face. I can understand why it's tough.
He just barely made it into day two because, as of now, the draft is done for today. Round 10, that was the end of it. 11 through 40 is all day tomorrow.
Okay. Is it okay that we broke up this segment to give this MLB draft news, Mitch? Was that all right this time? Better than the first time?
That was fine. Okay. I am not booked in this segment.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're fine.
This is not your segment. All right. Fair enough. Next segment is, though, when we get to Jabroni of the Week. Just a reaction to what Phil Steele had to say. As usual, pretty positive about K-State. Did agree with the notion that the Cats have a good chance to compete for a Big 12 title. Now, he did say that his computer numbers, his power numbers, when he runs all that, came out with Texas, TCU, and K-State neck and neck. So he went ahead and put them all tied for third. And when we asked about the offensive unit rankings being pretty low, basically just said relative to the rest of the conference, there's a lot of offensive talent. So that's the explanation there. I don't think it's really surprising at all from him. And if you do, look, I understand. If you see K-State's running backs at eighth or whatever, and that makes you angry, the wide receivers at ninth, I can understand how that would tick you off a little bit. But I don't think, especially when you listen to Phil Steele, this is a guy, I just want to point, this is not a guy that's got a vendetta. He's not trying to be vindictive to K-State or anything like this. He's not out to get to the Wildcats. He perfectly understands Bill Snyder and what K-State is usually able to do. But he also has a formula, and what have we learned about K-State through the years? You can try and go through on paper and see what it looks like. You can try and go through the formula, see what it looks like. K-State almost always outperforms, though. So he's not going to make a bunch of huge exceptions year after year with the way he in general does the magazine. If you have a formula that works, big picture, and you're Phil Steele, and these numbers that you plug in generally churn out good results, and you're typically the best magazine when it comes to projections, you're not going to go individually and start case by case. You know, it's a slippery slope if you go case by case and start adjusting those a whole bunch. Just saying, well, I would have K-State's running backs 8th in the Big 12, but I know Bill Snyder's great. I'm going to go ahead and bump him up to like 5. You know, that's a slippery slope if you start doing stuff like that. There's other great coaches in the country. So in defense of Phil Steele, that's the point that I would make there. Much like I always say about Bill Snyder's program. You know, we hear some of the whispers of things that maybe some don't like. There's some things that are tougher on the players than others, but it's like you have this whole big system that has worked so well. Why would you go tinkering with it and changing it if the end result is very good? I think it's the same type of idea here with Phil Steele. And now I've successfully compared Phil Steele to Bill Snyder, which if you were already upset about Phil Steele, you're probably 10 times as upset right now.
Well, and you know, when he compares or when he says K-State tied for 3rd in the Big 12, he's not specifying a conference record there. We don't know if Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are in there at 8-1 and 7-2, and then you've got the T3 teams at 6-3. If you go 6-3 in the Big 12 this year, you're probably looking at a 9-3 regular season, and that is an improvement on last year, not to mention it is the over in terms of Vegas's over-under for wins for you. So if you look at it in that regard, I can understand where you would frame it like this and say that that there are 4 teams that are projected to be as good or better than K-State in the Big 12. And, yeah, when you look at it like that, it's kind of pessimistic. But I see where he's coming from, and I do agree that there is a lot of offensive talent in the league this year. So I'm gonna give him a lot of benefit of the doubt.
Well, and if it makes you feel any better too, his straight-up power rankings, which are just rankings of how good he thinks each team is in terms of what they have as a team – it takes schedule out of the equation, rest of the league, anything like that. It's basically just who he thinks if you line them up on a field. In a vacuum, as I love to say. It's
in a 64-team tournament.
Perfect use for that. In a vacuum, what each team is. He has K-State 19th. So he thinks they're the 19th best combination of talent and coaching in the country. The schedule then starts to factor into it when he is projecting finishes in the conference. So all in all, I think it's pretty fair, really, where he has K-State. Texas... were you satisfied with his description about Texas? Why he's got the horns tied for 3rd?
I will say that I have more confidence.
That's a no, by the way.
Not necessarily. I have more confidence in Tom Herman getting it done than I did with Charlie Strong and that I have with Texas in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. I just don't know if I see it year one with them. But I would be very surprised if they disappointed to the same regard that they did last year, say losing to Kansas and everything like that. I do think they'll be better. I don't know if I would say tied for 3rd.
Yeah, it was basically what you would expect. Like they look great. He used the phrase they look great looking off the coming off the bus.
Right.
They've got talent on defense.
But they always do.
The defensive line. Tom Herman's 6-0 against ranked teams as a head coach in his time at Houston. I was a bit surprised when asking him about the rest of the league outside of the top 5 that we'd been talking about there, who was most likely to jump up into that top group. Not West Virginia, but Baylor has some faith in Matt Rhule bringing in a different style to Baylor and feels pretty good about, in general, their talent level still in that program, even considering everything that's happened. And then a few mentions for the Kansas Jayhawks. Likes the wide receivers in the D-line of the Jayhawks.
And they are an improved team.
I'm sure they will be. Yeah, hey. Right now, we didn't talk about this yesterday. I had this written down. They're back up in the top 20 of those recruiting rankings for 2018.
Yeah, didn't they get a 5-star guy or something like that?
Well, one of their kids that had been committed for a while got bumped from 4 to 5 stars.
Oh,
but they,
I see.
They had a couple commitments over the weekend.
You know, K-State fans might be complaining about where Phil Steele has him, but I think that West Virginia is the team with the biggest gripe against Phil Steele just in relation to where we think things are going to fall with the media preseason poll here in about a month or so.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's not buying into Will Grier being a total savior for that program, which thank you for that, Phil Steele. Thank you very much. I, for one, appreciate it.
I think Will Grier is fine. I think their defense is the bigger issue.
Did lose a lot. They absolutely did. If you missed any of the interview, newsradiokman.com, the On Demand tab, part 1 and part 2 of Phil Steele, Jabroni of the Week, when we come back.